You know, one of the big emphases placed on implementing healthcare IT is to improve quality and safety. No doubt there's an cost savings that are needed in our healthcare that spends $2.6 trillion. But fundamentally, it's about saving lives or preventing needless deaths. Now, you've probably heard the statistics of how many people died needlessly. It's frighteningly high. Over 100,000 people from infections, another 100,000 from mistakes of commission, 50 to 100,000 from diagnostic errors, and thousands more from not receiving evidence-based therapies that they should. But those numbers often numb us to the real reality, the cost, the human cost of these mistakes. I, unfortunately, had to live with that human reality. My father died needlessly at the age of 50 from a cancer because he was misdiagnosed, and when he finally got treatment, he was beyond the ability to get a bone marrow transplant, which is what he needed. And then in my work at Johns Hopkins, I had to confront the mother of an adorable little 18-month-old girl, Josie King. She could have been my daughter. They both had a cute little pug nose. They both had curly blonde hair. They were both born around the same time. But she died needlessly at my hospital from a catheter infection that led to sepsis and dehydration that wasn't recognized or treated appropriately. And every year on the anniversary of her death, her mother asks me, is Josie less likely to die now than she was 4 years ago or last year? When she first asked me, I must have seemed like I was manic. I started telling her all the stuff we're doing in healthcare to improve safety. We have this project and that program and this program, and we are busy. But she abruptly, and I think appropriately, cut me off and said, Peter, I don't really care what you're doing. I want to know, is care safer? And the sad reality is, at the time, I couldn't give her an answer. The U.S. healthcare system couldn't give her an answer. And I believe desperately that she deserves one. And together with Health IT, we are going to be able to give her an answer, and you are going to be part of that solution.
That's great.
Now, we've talked about some basic principles of designing safe systems, and they are standing work, creating checklists or independent checks, and learning from things go wrong. Now, most of you probably think those principles apply to the technical work, the code you write, how we design our IT systems, but it's important to realize that those principles also apply to our teamwork, the way we communicate with each other. Now, I use a very simple model of communication. It helps me in my personal life, it helps me at work, and it definitely helps me when I'm being a doctor delivering care, talking to either patients or other colleagues. And the idea is whenever we communicate, the sender of the message encodes some meaning. In other words, we don't always use unambiguous or explicit language, and we always add nonverbal or emotional cues. And that message that I'm encoding passes through an environment that in healthcare is noisy, it's chaotic, people are doing five things, and it goes to a receiver who then has to decode what they thought I was meaning. And that decoding you should think of as exactly the same as translating something to another language. It's literally that hard, especially if you're a different type of employee. We all use different terms and jargon. We speak different languages. So let me give you an example. I came home from work one day, and it was a rather frustrating day at work. And I say to my wife, oof, frustrating day at work, honey. Got a lot of spears thrown at me. She said, so what you're really saying, Peter, she decoded it, is that you don't want to give the kids a bath and you want to go for a jog. Now, she was spot on. That's exactly what I was saying. But she was able to decode that because she's familiar with me. She knows me well. Most of the people you work with, we won't know that well. And so the more we could standardize communication, the more we could have an independent check, or in other words, confirm and read back that this is exactly what they said. And if something goes wrong, we could discuss it, the better we're going to be. Let me give you another example. I was on rounds in the intensive care unit. I'm an intensive care physician. And one of the doctors gave an order to the nurses to say, hold tube feeds. Those are feeds we give to patients' stomach if the patient doesn't look like they're tolerating them. And everybody walked away as if that order was clear. And there were eight different people on rounds. And I said, could everybody just take out a piece of paper and write down how you define not tolerating tube feeds? And not surprisingly, eight different people, eight different answers. Now, it doesn't matter if any one of those are right or they're wrong. If I had a definition in my brain, I encoded not tolerating tube feeds means their residuals are 150 cc's, and the nurse decodes that to mean 50 cc's or 100 cc's, well, we're setting up for conflict because I come back and I say, why isn't this going on? In my brain, it was perfectly clear, but I hadn't ensured that it was decoded correctly. So what do we do routinely now in the ICU? Whenever we give a discussion of the plan of care, the nurse or the care team always reads it back. I ensure that there's no decoding error because they then confirm, Peter, this is exactly what you meant. And think about how productive you would be either in your personal life, your work life. If you, when you're having these dialogue, you guarantee there's no decoding errors because you say, okay, let me be very clear. What you want me to do is write this code. And a great example of the benefits of this. We got our doctors and nurses to do this program where they rounded together and they confirmed what the plan was. And we monitored how often the doctors got paged a day, because what's in it for them besides good patient care is the time it takes to do this. And there was some reluctance to say, Peter, this is going to take time. And I said, I guarantee you communicating effectively will save time. So let's measure it. And our measure of time was how often the doctors got paged a day. Those pages went down from 64 a day to 2. 64 to 2 pages a day. Why? Because we clarified communication at the time of rounds. There was no ambiguity, so later on in the day, the nurses didn't have to call them back. And in your work, what we'll be asking you to do is apply these principles to your IT work. So you confirm that you're not having a decoding error and that you make sure we build IT systems that are the ones that clinicians really need.
Right.
And I'm okay.